Welcome to a special edition of Game of Owns. This is Eric Skull, and I'm here with Micah Tannenbaum. Unsullied, beware. This episode is our second ever spoiler episode of Game of Owns, which means I, in just a moment, will be hightailing it out of here, because I do not want to be spoiled. But the two hosts of this episode have been spoiled. They've read all of the books, and they're here to discuss their thoughts on the upcoming Season 5, keeping in mind what happens in the books. Without further ado, let me introduce the second host, my great friend, Andrew Walker. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Eric. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Andrew has always been as successful as Micah in keeping from me the biggest secrets that are coming, but he is responsible for getting me into the Game of Thrones series and continuing to inspire me of tales of what's to come without spoiling it. So I'm excited, but I'm also, like I said, getting out of here. Micah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You're in my seat, though.
Yeah, I am in his seat, so I gotta get going. But please, seriously, if you're unsullied just like me, don't listen. This is your warning. All right, spoiler discussion will follow.
All right, well, thanks for my seat, Eric. I appreciate that. And as Eric mentioned, we will give you one final spoiler warning here. Please, if you have not read past where we've read in the series, turn your iPhone, iPod, all other devices off, and go outside, have a walk. I'm sure it's nice out. You know, we got a chance last night at dinner, I think, to subtly talk through some things because Eric was there as well. We didn't want to spoil him or anybody else who was at the table, but there's a lot to anticipate here with Season 5, both from a sullied and unsullied perspective. But we had the most recent trailer released at the Apple event not that long ago, and so I just wanted to get your initial thoughts, Andrew, about what you saw.
Oh, that was a fantastic trailer. And it's really exciting because I think the reason we're doing this is one of the last chances for posterity to get thoughts down before the season starts. And I think we're doing this just sort of get an unsullied perspective on what's going to happen in the season. Because after season five is over, I think it's safe to say that all bets are off, and everyone's going to be unsullied by June, if what we're hearing is to be correct, that they're really going to sort of leapfrog past the first five books.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, you started reading the books when?
I started reading the books right after the first season ended. I watched the first season of the show right when it premiered. I loved it. It was just completely drawn into the, but I knew, I had not read the books and I knew nothing about it. It was just really drawn into the world building and the character work. And then after the first season ended, I read all five books because the fifth book came out that summer. And I've been kind of really obsessed ever since.
Nice. As most of us are. So are you able to differentiate much between the book and the show, or, you know?
Yeah, I am. I'm really kind of I'm content just to let them be their own things. I've always been a big fan of movies, of TV, and of books, just arts and entertainment in general. And I think everything has its own value. And I think a lot of the adaptation choices that Benioff and Weiss have done have been very smart in sort of keeping the show focused. You know, it's such a huge cast of characters, and I think they've done a really great job on picking the core group of characters and keeping it rigidly focused on them in a way that Martin just kind of can often tend to go all over the place. So I think the show has that as an advantage.
Okay. So you're comfortable then with the show really now at this point going in its own direction and potentially spoiling book readers who have paid, you know, with years of their time, you know, assuming that you are somebody who really enjoyed the series when it first came out, or maybe even a couple of years later. Now you've been on this journey for close to 25 years, and now you have the chance of a TV show taking the place of something that you are really looking forward to reading yourself.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a dilemma. It is a dilemma, and I would completely understand if some people didn't want to keep watching the show. But I just sort of get the sense that from here on out, it's going to be very different than what's going to be in the shows. The first couple seasons were relatively very faithful, but I think from what we get from here on out, Benioff and Weiss, from what we've heard about casting, from what we've heard, or the lack of casting, from what we've heard about various story points and some of the interviews and the promotion that they're doing, that they're really forging their own path from here on out. And yes, so I think the stories are going to be different. There's whole subplots that probably will not make it onto the show. And if the characters that are in the books that don't end up being on the show play a big part, then I think the stories will at least be different enough that.
Yeah. And you actually raised that point last night, specifically related to certain characters, where you feel like the overall direction, maybe they were initially planning on including these characters. They even brought them onto the show, and we can talk specifically about certain characters, but now they've just kind of fallen off. They're no longer there anymore. You brought up Gendry as a perfect example of that.
Yeah, there's so let me emphasize, let me start this point by saying this is probably something that's, I have nothing to base this on but my own assumption. I know a lot about the business. I kind of know a lot about how the entertainment TV business works and how contracts work. And this is not based on nothing more than my assumptions of what's happening behind the scenes, and this may never actually be proven, but I feel pretty confident in saying that if Benioff and Dan Weiss had an initial game plan for how they were going to adapt the show, then it may have changed once they had... We know that at a certain point, like in the middle of production of season three, they sat down with George R. R. Martin and found out what the rest of the story was going to be. He entrusted them with what the overall rest of the story was what was going to happen. And I just get this feeling that... see, Benioff and Weiss have kind of made no secret that they want to wrap the show up in 7 or 8 seasons. And at this point, it looks like it's going to be 7 based on the recent round of contract negotiations, how all the actors were originally signed for a 6-year contract, and it made headlines that they had renegotiated, you know, Peter Dinklage and all the rest of the core cast members for a 7th season with big pay raises. And the fact that it was just 1 7th season and not like a 7th, 8th or 9th season means I think that everyone's committed to wrapping the show up in 7 seasons. So once they figured that out, and once they had their conversation with George Martin, and once they sort of knew where everything, once they had their conversation with George R. R. Martin and knew where everything was headed, I think they had a lot of tough choices to make. And I think they'd laid the groundwork for stories that may or may not have ended up doing. Like, I think when they, I honestly think that when, like, the absence of Lady Stoneheart was a very controversial subject for a lot of fans, that they seemed to cut her out of the show. And she may still appear, but for the moment, it looks like she won't. And when they introduced the Brotherhood in season 3, I just have the suspicion that when they introduced the Brotherhood and did the whole subplot with Arya and the Hound, that they were planning on doing the Stoneheart subplot. But after they had their sit down with Martin, they ultimately decided it was expendable. So who knows if we'll ever see them again. And bringing it back to Gendry, I think something similar happened, how they went through the trouble of promoting Gendry and Joe Dempsey, the actor who played him, to a main regular cast member for season 3, which kind of implies a multi-year contract, and then they dropped him entirely. So maybe his original purpose was to connect Brienne back to the Brotherhood and the Justice, he kind of does in the books, but maybe not.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. It's something that I actually myself never thought of, but you know, the fact that once they did have this meeting, a lot of things changed in terms of what was ultimately going to be important to get them to the end goal. And I think, you know, to your point, there's been a lot of discussion recently about how long Game of Thrones is going to go on. HBO wants it to be 10 seasons. Benioff and Weiss are looking probably at 7, maybe 8. And you know, we'll see kind of where that all nets itself out. There's talk about making you know, the final season or two into a movie. Whatever makes the most money, I think that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. But
probably
from that trailer, though, specifically, I know there was something that really caught your attention. You had vaguely mentioned it to Eric without spoiling too much, but I think it's something that did come up on our latest episode, just because, you know, at this point, Sansa, her storyline has gotten to where it is in the books. At least that's where we left off kind of at the end of last season. It's been modified a bit, but for the most part, it is the book and the show have come together, and we are now entering what would be considered Sully territory. So just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, seeing where she is, what she's doing, and how this is all going to tie together based on plot we know from the books.
Yeah, there's a shot in the most recent trailer where it sure looks like she's in the crypts of Winterfell, and that's there have been some rumblings that might have been a storyline change that Benioff and Weiss would do for the show, and this last trailer seemed to confirm it. Now, we don't know exactly what she'll be doing in Winterfell, but there's some speculation that she could either be taking the place of Jane Poole, who the Boltons marry Ramsay off to in order to solidify their power in the North, pretending that she's Arya, or is Sansa there as Sansa? Is she still in disguise as Elaine, and is she keeping that secret?
And one comment that I heard too was, could she, in a way, take the character on of Lady Stoneheart, not actually becoming that role, but taking on
being
a lot,
kind of the face of the conspiracy to take back the North.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's an interesting point. I had read that in the comments, mm-hmm. I think, on Watchers on the Wall, that a lot of people are now going in that direction. Just, you know, the way that she is depicted in the trailer, she looks very much like
Catelyn. Yeah, they've costumed her to look a lot like the way Michelle Fairley was costumed as Catelyn. And I think there's a line in the trailer where I think the first trailer where Littlefinger specifically tells her, avenge them. And yeah. So I think she's on a mission of vengeance, going to Winterfell. And
is this the direction that the books are going in? That's the great thing is even as Sully, we don't know the answer to that question, because, you know, where we leave her in book 5, she's still in the Vale. So now we see her marching with House Arryn. In a number of different shots, but actually in one in particular, it looks like they're coming into a reconstructed Winterfell. So it's clear that she's going there this season. What her role is going to be, as you mentioned before, is really up in the air. We don't have an answer to that question, but she's going to play a major role. I know in interviews she's actually spoken about meeting up with old cast members. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Theon Greyjoy comes to mind, knowing that he's at Winterfell. Now, how does this all play out with the Boltons, knowing that there's a line in the trailer from Roose Bolton about Stannis wanting to take the North? How do all three of these sort of major characters intertwine with each other now?
Yeah, this is there's some storylines I'm very confident in predicting how it's going to play out this season, and Stannis and the Boltons, with now Sansa as a wild card, and possibly Brienne as a wild card too, since we see her in the trailer in an area surrounded by snow. I have absolutely no confidence in predicting where this storyline is going to go, but I'm very excited to see how it plays out. I mean, we know that Stannis and the Boltons, where the books leave us, they're headed toward a big showdown, but I think there's a lot of whether there will actually be a big battle, or whether in that Game of Thrones way, something will subvert the expectations and tip the advantage to one side or the other. I mean, if Sansa's there to marry Ramsay, I don't know, maybe she slits his throat on their wedding night. Maybe Brienne comes across Stannis and kills him on sight to avenge Renly. Or maybe there's just a big battle and they wipe each other out and leave this enormous power vacuum in the North. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of ways that could be headed because we don't know where the books are headed. Mm-hmm. So it's...
Yeah, it's fun again. I mean, I remember watching the first season and not knowing anything that was going to happen. And so, you know, to kind of be in that position again, you know a few things, you know some major plot points that are going to take place from books 4 and 5, probably in this season. But yeah, it's all conjecture at this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, does Sansa come back to your point?
I think she's definitely there to get vengeance for Rob and in some way, whether she succeeds or how successful she's going to be in taking down the Boltons from within. But based on Littlefinger telling her avenge them in the trailer, right. I absolutely think that's what she's there to do.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And one thing that would be kind of cool is if she initially comes in as Elaine and nobody really knows who she is, and she has basically all the troops from the Vale with her, and Bolton thinks that they're coming to basically be allies with him against Stannis.
So
almost like a...
Yeah, I think it could, in a lot of ways it could be similar to what happens in the book, but they're sort of like merging the Ramsay's fake bride, where he dresses this woman up to be a fake Arya, and the character of Wyman Manderly, who comes in supposedly as a Bolton supporter, but is actually there to avenge his son who died at the Red Wedding. So it's they're sort of merging those two characters into Sansa. That seems to be how it's going to play out. And I'm very, very excited to see that happen.
Yeah. Well, and because we have to remember that, and I don't think the Boltons really know who Sansa is.
Presumably Theon will know.
That's where his loyalty will be tested. And maybe similar to the books, he helps Jaime escape.
Yes.
Will he keep the secret of who Sansa is until Sansa is able to retake Winterfell? And then does she align herself with Stannis, to really kind of collectively together take back the North? We know that there was really no love lost necessarily between Ned and Stannis, but... knowing what she knows, having been at King's Landing, you would think that somebody like Stannis, minus his faults, could be somebody that she supports.
Quite possibly, yes. It's I think just because of all the unknown factors, this absolutely is the storyline I'm most excited for this season. And I don't know. I think the two Boltons, Roos and Ramsay, are absolutely fantastic villains. I love them as villains on the show. So sort of selfishly, I hope we get a little, they stick around a little while longer, but before they get their comeuppance. But if they meet the end of the road this season, I don't think anyone will complain.
No, especially, Ramsay.
Yeah.
Well, and Roos too. I mean, he killed Rob.
Yeah.
Even though it's funny, we just recorded the chapter for the Red Wedding, it doesn't specifically state in the books that it is Roose Bolton. You just kind of interpret
that. I think
that.
It's because, wasn't he wearing like a pink, isn't like pink Roose's color?
Yeah.
And the guy who kills
but
Rob.
But in the show, it's very clear.
Oh, right.
But you mentioned Wyman Manderly, and I know that he's been cast for this season, and he has another role.
Has he? Has he been cast? I didn't...
Yeah, I saw that somewhere along the line.
Okay.
But he is going to... Now, he ties in with Davos as well, right?
Yes, Davos meets up with him in book 5. And
in terms of sending him on his mission. So interested to see if they play out that storyline and Davos. He may not get the order from Wyman. He may just come directly from Stannis or Melisandre to go after Rickon, which may be kind of a card in his back pocket should, he need to negotiate it all with Sansa somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I have to think that eventually they're going to bring Rickon back into the story, and whether they do what apparently is going to happen in the books and send Davos to get him on the show, that could happen, but...
And it would reveal a location, I think, that people have been longing to see on the show. Maybe it makes an appearance in the show before we actually get to see it in the books.
Yeah, possibly.
All right. Well, one other note of casting, I think that people were talking about was that the actor who plays Jack and Hagar was...
yeah, there was like a press release which listed all the official cast members for the season, and he was on there. He'd been rumored to be returning, but I think that's confirmed now. Yeah. So I'm going to be excited to see him back.
Now, he will obviously play into Arya's storyline this season.
Yeah, it looks like they're substituting him in for the Kindly Man. I think it was the character who trains Arya in the books, but I think it makes a lot of sense for TV viewers to make him Jack. That was going to be my next question.
does he take the place of the Kindly Man, and does that bother you?
Oh, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. I think
it keeps it easy for show viewers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have all these people that like paying off various relationships. Like they paired Arya and Gendry, and I hope they meet again later down the line. But also pairing Arya with Jaqen way back in season two, and then he comes back to train her, might mm-hmm. be a nice payoff for the TV viewers.
Yeah. And another location that people are interested in addition to Braavos, of going to this year is Dorne. Mm-hmm. We've seen parts of it in the trailer. We've seen some of the Sand Snakes, and a big deviation from the books, though, is that we see Jaime going to Dorne.
Looks like Jaime's headed there
to most likely try and bring back Myrcella or negotiate something on the part of the Crown. So, what are your thoughts on Jaime getting sent off to Dorne?
I can see why they would do that. I think it would make sense to have kind of a familiar face be the bridge in order to going to the new land and the new storyline.
Oakheart, right?
Yeah, I think the Kingsguard there is in the book. But another thing about the Dornish plotline that seems to have people sort of up in arms is that the POV character of that plotline in the books is Arianne Martell, who seems to have been cut, and her role looks like it's going to be filled by Ilaria Sand and the Sand Snakes, which, again, could be controversial, but it sort of makes sense to me in that they're... You know, they introduced Oberyn Martell last year, and he made such a huge impression, and then unceremoniously left the series. So in order to use the characters with, like, the most direct comparison to Oberyn, like his partner and his daughters, that's in order to drive the plot forward. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, you can understand why she would want vengeance, and she's a character that people already know. Yeah. And have met previously. So for her to be the one who is going to try and basically get revenge, it's understandable.
One of Benioff and Weiss's credos for the show, which is something I agree with, is you have so many characters and you're paying all of the actors. So if you already have established characters A, B, and C, use A, B, and C and don't introduce characters D, E, and F and... three additional paychecks. That seems to be good storytelling and good business as well.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because we don't always think about that as book readers. We want, you mentioned Arianne Martell. Mm-hmm. We want all these characters that we've come to love and know, Lady Stoneheart, who we feel for a character like that because she is exacting revenge for what was done to her family, and so you want that, but at the same time, it is another paycheck, and we don't, our mind doesn't always go in that direction. Another character that you mentioned that you were really excited to see is the High Sparrow.
Yeah, a fantastic actor they've cast in that part, Jonathan Pryce from Brazil and all these great movies, and we've seen him in the trailer, and I think that storyline is going to hedge fairly close to the books. Cersei's relationship with the Sparrows—that's something I think is going to be similar to what happens in the books, and should give Lena Headey a lot of great material to work with.
Yeah, and probably one of the more anticipated scenes of the season for book readers will be her walk of shame.
Walk of shame, yeah. We know they had some problems filming that scene, supposedly that the city of whether it was Dubrovnik or wherever they were filming the scene, had some problems with it, having a nude woman walking down the city streets in sort of a religious district with a church apparently they worked it out, so that should be
it's definitely much anticipated. And then let's shift east for a little bit, and storylines are being really advanced from a timing perspective. Obviously, you know, we left the end of last season with Tyrion in a barrel or a box, headed off east. We don't, at least from a show standpoint, know where he's going, but from a book standpoint, you know, we know that he heads to Magister Illyrio, who then kind of sends him on this journey with characters that have been completely cut out, at least for the time being, as far as we know. And it seems like he's going to connect with Jorah a lot earlier than he does in the books, and that he's going to end up at some point being next to Daenerys. At least we've seen that from a couple of photos.
Do we want to talk about that? Something that's like, if it's like interviews or something, is that something that was like telephoto? Pap shots?
I think we could talk about it a little bit, at least from the standpoint of him getting to her a lot quicker than what is in the books. Because really, at this point, at least in Dance with Dragons, he's not there yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just interested what you think about, you know, again, I think it goes to what you were talking about earlier. You know, unless it's absolutely necessary to be there, there's a lot of plot, so let's just cut it out and get these characters as close together as possible. Maybe they don't meet, even though, you know, some pictures may suggest otherwise. But, you know, just knowing that you now have another major character who has made his way to the east.
Yes, it definitely looks like Tyrion and Daenerys are on a collision course, which is not what happened in the books, and it looks like in this aspect, Benioff and Weiss are absolutely speeding ahead of what happens in the books with that storyline. And see, the show has been on such an it's been building every year. It's becoming more and more of a successful worldwide phenomenon every year, and the momentum is building, and it really seems that they're headed towards a goal at this point. If they did what happens in books 4 and 5, I love the books and I love the writing and I love the story, but if they did that on the show, the momentum would just stall in its tracks if they had because not much happens. It's essentially 3,000 pages of shuffling the deck in order to get characters in place for the final two acts. So I can see why Benioff and Weiss would want to speed things up. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Daenerys was finally on her way to Westeros at the end of the season. But that, again, that's just a guess on my part.
No, it's a good guess because we've spent now 4 complete seasons, obviously, with her gaining enough to be able to go back there. And I think sort of the uprising in Meereen may be the last straw for her, who finally says, okay, I can't continue to do this. I can't rule over cities who don't want me to be here and, you know, continue to lose men. You know, the pit scene that we see in the trailer is obviously different from the books, but it seems like now, hopefully, she's finally realized that it's time for her to make her way back west. And, you know, maybe that is where ultimately season 5 will wrap up.
Yeah, if I had money to bet, I would guess that she finally decides to let Meereen be at the end of the season. But you know, we'll see. It'll be a big change no matter how it goes.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of how season 5 will wrap, interested to get, you know, your thoughts on that. You mentioned Daenerys. You know, one thing that kind of jumped into my mind, and there's not really much to take away from the trailer to suggest this, but just knowing how, not book 5 ends, because that's not the end of book 5, but, you know, Jon Snow and his quote unquote death,
mm-hmm.
I think would be a major blow and shock to those who are Unsullied. It's traditionally Game of Thrones. Their big moment comes in episode 9,
mm-hmm.
and then they have sort of the, I wouldn't call it resolution, but you have the falling action from episode 9, even going back as far as, you know, Baylor episode 9,
yep.
in the first season, Ned gets his head chopped off. Okay, well, what happens after that? Episode 9, I think in the second season was the Battle of Blackwater, and of course season 3, the Red Wedding. And I think this past season was the Mountain and the Viper, right?
So, and then the Wall, the huge battle.
Oh, yeah,
the Wall.
Absolutely.
So, and it looks like, yeah, it does look like they're doing, every season it looks like there's this giant set piece, whether it's a battle or the wedding, massacre, or, but this season it looks like it's this this battle at Hardhome, which kind of, the trailers are really emphasizing it, like this wildling village, which may or may not be attacked by, you know, White Walkers. That's probably going to be the big action set piece of the season. Now, whether that is going to be at the end of the season or more towards the middle, it's going to be a giant, massive sequence for the show where Jon and the Night's Watch will have to, and the Wildlings will have to sort of like prove there whether they can work together or not. So whether, I think Jon's assassination, quote unquote, whether it sticks or not, that probably will happen at the end of the season. I could absolutely see the circumstances around it being maybe slightly changed, but I mm-hmm. think that could
and Twitter will break happen.
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's funny though. I would think majority of people who have read the books don't believe that he is in fact dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was rereading A Dance with Dragons this past week, and I came across a Melisandre chapter, and I mentioned this to you yesterday. There's actually a line, and you know, I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but when she's looking into the flames and she's thinking of Jon, or she's envisioning Jon, and it says human wolf and then human again. So you almost wonder, will he spend time as ghost, or, you know, what kind of magic will Melisandre work to keep him alive or bring him back? And then that, of course, ties into her whole larger prophecy. Is he, in fact, the prince that was promised, as mm-hmm. opposed to Stannis, who seems to be on a collision course with death at this point?
They've definitely set up, like in last season's finale, when Melisandre and Jon locked eyes over the funeral pyre, they definitely made an instant, it's the phrase meet cute. Is that what they call it in the movies? It's the...
They were eyeballing.
Yes, absolutely. So there's definitely stuff being set up with those two. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I am too. I think there's a lot to look forward to with this season, and I think that both Sullied and Unsullied will be happy with it. I don't know, it is a little nerve-wracking because, you know, somebody who's Sullied, I remember going into season 3 and it's like, oh, Red Wedding, you know, you're teasing your friends, is like, what's a Red Wedding? What does that mean? You know,
and you'll see, yeah, you'll find out.
And
at that time of when the Sullied can sort of slightly tease the Unsullied, that will all be done in June. I think the show's, yeah, that time is almost over when we,
yeah, it's done. We can't have our fun anymore. I think that time is up, and we're all excited for season 5. We're anticipating more trailers being released, and anything else that you saw in the trailers that you're thinking about, you know, for these next couple of seasons, any sort of major theories that you have on your part that are going to kind of blow our minds?
Oh gosh. Well, part of me is sort of hoping that whatever the end game of the show, it will be a little more complicated than dragons versus zombies. I mean, the joy of the show is watching the political machinations and watching one family shift the balance of power and the way one family can gain power over another family and gain in closer and closer to taking the Iron Throne. And that's the pleasure of watching the show, as cool a hook as the White Walkers and the dragons and the supernatural elements can be. So if that stuff remains foregrounded, the character relationships and the political relationships, if that can remain in the forefront while the inevitable zombies versus dragons special effects showdown can happen, I'll be happy. I just hope that's not the all it becomes.
Yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, kind of going off of that, though, talking about the political game that's being played, you know, two characters that are at the forefront of that don't even really have, you don't consider them to be major characters, but, you know, they've kind of been there on the surface in season one. Or I should say kind of underneath the surface in season one is Varys and Baelish.
Yeah, the show has definitely put a lot of stock in them as kind of like the polar opposites of the chaos versus for the good of the realm. I think they'll remain so. I think that when it will happen, I don't know. But I think the show has invested so much into establishing their rivalry that I think that will play a part in the end game of the show.
Yeah, and a lot of people think, you know, once Sansa really learns the truth, and inevitably I think she will, about what Baelish is responsible for, that she'll probably kill him.
Possibly. I think there will be one final Varys Littlefinger showdown at some point.
That would be cool.
And
interesting that he has now gone east, though, in the show, when we know at the end of book five, he returns to King's Landing. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in a long time, because, you know, Cersei mentions many times throughout, the books that, he's nowhere to be found. So what has he been up to?
In the books?
Yeah.
That's an excellent question. The show may or may not shed some light into that, but at the end of book five, it seems like he's on the, you know, he kills Pycelle and Kevin Lannister, and it seems like he's very close on the verge of staging a coup on behalf of the possibly of Aegon Targaryen, who may or may not be real, but it seems at the end of book five, Varys is very close to declaring all-out war on the Lannisters and Tyrells, and whether the show will find him in a similar location, in a similar situation at the end of season five, we'll just have to.
Yeah, it's a lot to kind of go through, because we're talking about, you know, really his plot for two books, even though he, you know, doesn't make an appearance until the end of book five. You know, he's gone at the end of Storm of Swords, and that's it. We don't hear from him again. So, and then interesting to see what direction Baelish goes in as well, because I think that those two are really, you know, Daenerys talks about the wheel, but those are the two spinning the wheel. You know,
the spokes.
They're the ones who are in control. So I'm really interested to see how this all plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. We're less than a month away from season five.
It's exciting times, man.
And the Sullied getting more Sullied, I guess, so to speak. So, we really appreciate you, taking the time to join us to come on to do the spoiler episode.
I mean, we had an awesome conversation at dinner last night, all of us kind of talking about the future of the show, and did our best to recreate some of that for the microphone. So I hope that was listenable for all you fine folks listening.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, we appreciate it. We'll have you on again in the future. We'll talk about, you know, what's going on in the season and what your thoughts are. I think that should be a lot of fun. And
awesome.
So, thanks again. And now Eric can come from hiding wherever he is
and crawl back out
in this apartment. And I think he was actually just the next room.
We exiled him in his own apartment. We kind of shipped him off to a corner in a crate. This has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. As the final train comes through.